with you today. I'm going to try to center mainly in just a couple of books of the Bible, and but we'll have the verses on the screen available for you, Lord willing, that you'll be able to follow along. Let me do this before we get started with that. I want to give you a little background for the message today, because I don't even remember how long ago it's been now. I asked for those, if you have a question related to the Bible, to if you would email me or write it and give it to me. And because we do this somewhat routinely on Wednesday evening, so I wanted to give those of you on Sunday morning an opportunity. And one came in, and I wanted to, in part, give you a little background to read the email to you. And that's the message today. I hope to answer these questions, but also how we can live in light of our relationship with the Lord as citizens of heaven right here on earth. But when a loved one passed away, that's basically what prompted this particular, or I guess a few questions related to this topic, that someone came along and said, well, at least they have a new body now. And so it started this individual thinking, well, if when we go to heaven, we got bodies waiting on us. Because this loved one is up in age a little bit, does that mean when a loved one passes, if they're older, do they have a 90-year-old body, a 70-year-old body, 20-year-old body, 30? How many opt for 20? And so there's a question, and I love this because this individual shared that they recently completed listening to the Bible in the New King James Version, which is what I typically use here on Sunday mornings. And maybe you can relate to this. They remember hearing many references to heaven, but because they're kind of spread out, it's not always easy to remember where they are or how to put them back together so that you can kind of get all that topic at one time. And reading through and hearing, and we'll look at this, Lord willing, in a few moments during the message, of how Jesus had an encounter with a group of people who didn't believe in the resurrection. They're called Sadducees. And they gave him this kind of, just a story. And the way Jesus responded caused this another question to come up. Will we recognize our loved ones in heaven? Because in this life, we, of course, thank God for those we are close to, whether family or friends. And it would be kind of disheartening to think that we will be in eternity without them, or maybe not to recognize them. And I don't have all the answers, but I will try to do it justice from God's word as best I know how. And then also, just if there was appeal to say, what are our rewards? What do we have to look forward to when we get to heaven? So that's kind of the basis of the message this morning. So by God's grace, I've asked him to help me to try to answer these. So again, if you want to write down notes or to have them with you, let me ask you to turn to the book of Philippians now. Philippians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 3. And in the message, I'll go back in a little bit, Lord willing, to just kind of encapsulate those questions as I seek to answer them. But I really want to lay this foundation first. Philippians chapter 3. And I'll begin in verse 20 in just a moment. Philippians chapter 3, and just while you're turning, you can keep turning if you're doing so. Lord, I ask you to help me today to, Lord, accurately and faithfully, first of all, reveal you. That's all I want to do, Lord, every time. I want to be faithful to you. Lord, I stand before you today realizing that I will give an account one day of not only every word I've spoken, I will give account of how I've shared your word and what I've shared with your people and those who are listening. So Lord, I ask you to help me always. Lord, but in front of everyone, Lord, help me to just share the truth of your word, to share your heart, and Lord, what you offer us in this life and the life to come. And by your grace, I pray that we would receive this truth and it would make a difference in how we live right here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That phrase in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, is also translated, we are citizens of heaven. And so the message I would like to share this morning is just this truth, that as citizens of heaven, I guess it would be maybe even a prayer for us that we would live like citizens of heaven. Live like citizens of heaven. How can we take that truth and live it out in our time, in our day right now? If our citizenship really is in heaven, if we're citizens of heaven, the Lord calls us to then live that out here in our present life here on this earth. And let me just set this up real quick so that we know how to become citizens of heaven, because not everyone is. And thank God I have dual citizenship this morning. I'm a citizen of the United States of America, but I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven as well. And so the only reason that, first of all, we can be forgiven of all of our sins, that we can be made righteous before a holy God, that he would give us the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, and then make us citizens of heaven so that we could be with him forever one day. The only reason that he does so is because his son, Jesus, suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. And 3 days later, he conquered death and came back to life. And he is ascended back in glory now, where he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And by his Spirit, when he draws us to that truth and we call on him as Lord, he forgives us and grants us all of those blessings. Let me read you this, if you want to just join me in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Philippians 2, 7 says that Jesus, the Son of God, made himself of no reputation, and he took on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He wasn't just a man, but he took on our humanity. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because of that, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Thank God. Live like citizens of heaven. Now, I want to ask you if you would do this, all right? You don't want to go to heaven by yourself, do you? Y'all could have said amen. That was good. Someone around you, would you just look at them and just smile and say, let's live like citizens of heaven. All right. Real quick, three ways, all right? So how... And these aren't the only three, but I just tried to keep it in the vicinity here of this text of how, very practically, how we can live as citizens of heaven here on earth, because if we have received God's grace and mercy, then he calls us to live like citizens of heaven here to show our gratitude and love to him for his goodness to us. Thank God. So here we go. Number one, how do we live as like citizens of heaven? First, in our pursuits. We live like citizens of heaven in our pursuits. And I'll give you a couple verses here or references from Philippians chapter 3 and then one in Colossians chapter 3 as well. Philippians chapter 3. This is what we read beginning in verse 13. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting, would you say forgetting? Forget. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press, would you say I press? I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there is a forgetting and a pressing. forgetting and oppressing. Gary, I think you said this morning, you're talking about that commercial Mayhem. And you talked about, I think you prayed about something about forgetting. It made me think of this scripture. What do we forget? Well, the man who penned these words was such a violent, you might want to say a terrorist against followers of Jesus, that he had the authority to persecute them, to try to compel them to curse Jesus and have them murdered, have them killed. And yet he experienced the grace of God's mercy. And right before he wrote, penned those words, he wrote that even though in my former religion, I was above, I bring the pedigree. I bring the goods. If you just want to talk about human religion, I was there. I had it. He had probably memorized the first five books of the Bible before maybe he was a teenager. And he was very familiar with the Old Testament law, what we would call. But yet he said, I'm going to forget all of that, past failures and past accomplishments and anything else that would hinder me in pressing forward to know my Lord better and to receive the reward of heaven that's waiting on me one day. So what do you forget? Forget anything that hinders you. Please, anything that hinders you from pursuing Jesus. He's the real attraction of heaven. Pursuing him and pursuing his will. So then let me give you this scripture in Colossians 3:1. If you want to just write it down. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek. Would you please say seek? Seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So in our pursuits, we set aside, and I've come to realize this, we pursue what we value. If I value something, I'll pursue it if I value it enough. If I value someone like God, I'll pursue him if I value him enough. So we pursue what we value, and as citizens of heaven, we're to pursue the Lord, we're to pursue his will, and we're to pursue his kingdom coming on earth, because citizens of another country are supposed to represent their home country. This world is not our home. We're to represent our home in this temporary dwelling in which we now live. Thank God for it. But so we can pursue. Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. Thank God for treasures on earth if we have those, but don't let that be your sole focus. If we live just for this life, we'll lose it. But if we live for the life to come, we'll not only have that, we'll have a life of grace and blessing right here in this life too. So the only way to really lay up treasure in heaven is we have to seek what is above. We have to have the right priorities and values, lay up heavenly treasures, lay up heavenly rewards. And one of the questions that came in talked about what rewards do we have? Well, we as believers can earn crowns. The Bible mentions some of them specifically. And not only crowns that we receive by being faithful to the Lord right now in this life, it will affect our place in God's kingdom and the rewards that we have with him in heaven. So that's why it does matter how we live. There's a church in the area called Destination. They have a little slogan, where you're going matters. And that's so true. But how we're going matters also. It will affect our eternity. That song we sang earlier, let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Thank God for the rewards that we can receive for him. Number two, how do we live like citizens of heaven in this life? In our pursuits, and secondly, in our thoughts. Our pursuits and our thoughts. Again, this is very practical because thoughts lead to actions. Try to come up with an action that we don't think about first. Now, I know there are some involuntarily like breathing or heartbeat, but I'm talking about an action that we take by our will. So it starts with a thought. So if we think ungodly, sinful thoughts, it can lead us to ungodly, sinful actions. If we think godly thoughts, it can lead us to not only have godly actions. The Bible says, if we think on spiritual things, if we are spiritually minded, let those thoughts consume us, that we will not only go in that direction with our actions, but we can experience life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Anybody want a little more? Thank God for life and peace and begins with our thoughts. So Philippians 3:18. For many walk or live of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. That just simply means their appetite for sin. If that's what we are going after, but notice, please, what it says. It says they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly and who glory in their shame. What really they should be ashamed of, they brag about and boast on and glory in. And then he closes that verse 19. It says they set their mind on earthly things. Do you see how our lives will go in the direction of our most dominant thought? That's why it's so important that we bring our thoughts to the Lord and seek to fill our mind with the right truths. And then over in Colossians chapter 3, also verse 2, we read these words, Colossians 3:2, set your mind, would you say that with me? Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Now, you've probably heard the phrase, he's so heavenly minded, he's no what? He's no earthly good. I get it. I understand. I think maybe I've met a person or two who might want to say that. But to be the right kind of heavenly minded, we'll be very earthly good. To be heavenly minded means we're thinking about the Lord and we're not just thinking about this life, we're thinking about this life in light of the life to come. So live like citizens of heaven in our pursuits and our thoughts, and then finally our relationships. In our pursuits, thoughts, and relationships, and I'll give you a moment if you want to write that down, if I put that on the screen. Pursuits, thoughts, and relationships. And then again, I'll give you a couple verses from Philippians chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, not just me, but others, as you have us for a pattern. So in our relationships, God wants us to live as an example to others, that by our life of faith, not our perfection, but genuine life of faith, we can not only learn from others, but we live that before others. So God wants us to be examples of living for him, being followers of Jesus, and living like citizens of heaven. Then if you turn to Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, just two verses, Colossians 3:12, the Bible says this, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, verse 13, bearing with one another. Would you say bearing? Because love bears all things. It wants to be supportive. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So very practically, in our example to others, in our interactions with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also in our witness to those who are non-Christians. And he mentions that in both, over in Colossians, it says to have a right testimony. And even in our words, he said, let it be like they're seasoned with salt, that you know may know how to answer and respond to others who are outside, who are not Christians. So it's both, we want to live as an example to others. We want to be godly and live like citizens of heaven in our relationship with other believers. And we want to live like citizens of heaven to be a light, a witness, and a testimony to those who have not yet come to know the Lord. All right, now I wanted to lay that foundation first, then I hope to answer. I want to give you a couple verses in response to the questions that came in earlier, all right? Live like citizens of heaven. Would you say it with me? Live like citizens of heaven. Would you say in our pursuits,
in our pursuits,
our thoughts, and our relationships? All right, now let me ask you to go ahead and if you would turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 20. I'm going to give you a few other verses, but just for time's sake, if you would join me in Luke chapter 20, and I'll go back. I don't know if we were recording at this time or not, but again, just someone asked very basically, what will our rewards be? I touched on that just a moment ago. When believers go to heaven, do we have a body when we get to heaven? If so, what age will our bodies be, and will we recognize our loved ones? So I'll say this first about when a believer dies. When a believer dies, his or her soul goes to heaven. And in the spiritual realm, souls and spirits are visible. They can be seen. Some of you are familiar with the account. Well, just let me pause right here while it's coming to my mind. If we could see in the spirit realm right now, we could see spirits around. I mean, from angelic spirits to demonic spirits. Lord willing, we just got angel spirits all around and God's Holy Spirit. But there was an account in the Old Testament where a prophet and his servant were at a time of battle. And it looked like they were surrounded by the enemy. And the prophet said, don't worry about it. There's more with us than them. And he said, one, two, and started counting. And the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw like heavenly army all around to do battle for the Lord. So it, somehow, whether that means there is a spiritual body or a soul body, I don't know. But somehow in the spirit realm, it is visible. I wouldn't say it's our eternal body yet. So if you just hang in here with me, I'll explain that. In Revelation chapter 6, if you want to just write this down, John, I think it's verses 9 and 10, John said he saw the souls of those in heaven who had given their lives for Jesus. He saw their soul and he heard them speaking. They were crying out to the Lord, saying, how long, Lord? So he saw their souls and he heard their voices somehow. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this man named Paul was actually caught up to what is called the third heaven in paradise. But he said, I couldn't tell if I was in my body or not. It felt like he was in his body, but he didn't know. He just said, God knows. He said that twice in that chapter. So, and this is very important. Remember, the real person is not this tent we're living in for however many years. The real person is on the inside. And the Bible compares this body in the New Testament to a tent. And I don't know if any of you like camping or not. God bless you if you do. I've had some of my fill of it just because of weather and raccoons coming to eat the food and all of that. But I'll take a hotel room and a pool or whatever. But God says these tents will one day decay, but he's got a house for us, not made with human hands, waiting for us in heaven. So thank God for that. So we do have new bodies coming. Let me give you this scripture. If you want to write it down, then we'll look at Luke 20. Because the Bible teaches that when Jesus returns to earth, he will resurrect our bodies, those who have died. And it doesn't matter whether they've been in the ground or in the sea or wherever they are. He's going to bring our bodies back together to resurrect and instantly transform these mortal bodies into glorified bodies just like him. That's what it said in Philippians we read earlier. Live like citizens of heaven. He's going to transform these lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. 1 John, let me read this to you. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says this. Beloved, you loved ones, now, would you say now? We are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he, Jesus, is revealed, when he returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thank God, no more sin, no more of the curse. And because of that, speaking of living like citizens of heaven, verse 3 says, and everyone who has this hope, what hope? That we're going to see him and be like him because of Jesus and the cross. Everyone who has this hope in Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. Have you found Luke 20? The Bible, just for sake of time, let me give you a little background here. This group came to Jesus to try to trap him in his words because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Do y'all know what they were called? Sadducees, because they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. So they tried to trap Jesus and say, Jesus, in our law, it says that if a man marries a wife and dies, if he has a living brother, she has to marry him. He has to marry her. And so what if that happens and there are seven brothers and they have no children, they all marry her, they all die, they have no children. Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And this is how Jesus responded in verse 33. Luke chapter 20, verse 33. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as wife. And Jesus answered, said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy of to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Verse 36, nor can they die anymore. For they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Let me read verses 35 and 36 in the New Living Translation, if we could just put that on the screen. It says, but in the age to come, those worthy of being raised from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they will never die again. In this respect, they'll be like angels. They are children of God and children of the resurrection. So sometimes we hear statements and we can repeat them, not with evil intent. I want to be very careful about this. But they're not necessarily based on scripture. Like, for example, and I'm not asking you to say anything, I've heard before, well, she's an angel now, or he has his wings now. How many of y'all remember It's a Wonderful Life? And I love that it's a Christmas classic. I love the moral of the story, one of the favorites. But not trying to bash the movie, but in actuality, we don't turn into angels and we don't get wings. So Clarence, you won't have to wait 600 and some years to earn your wings. For those of you who are familiar with it. So what he says, we're like angels or equal to the angels in the sense that in the resurrection, we'll never die again. Nor will we marry, because I believe I can maybe show or at least have an idea of why. But I want to say this first. Someone wrote a song that says, there's a song in my heart the angels can't sing. Redeemed. Because we read about angels who rebelled against God, and that was it. That was it. They had a shot and they lost it. But for those of us created in God's image, thank God we fell, but that wasn't it. And he says, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to pay the price to let you still be forgiven and be with me forever. The angels can't sing that song. So thank God there's a hymn that says, redeemed, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. So let me continue on here in verse 37. It says, but even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, for he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Wait a minute. When God spoke those words to Moses, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had been dead for years. But God says, that's from your point of view. I'm the God of the living, and I'm their God, and I'm showing you right now, and Jesus related this scripture, that there is a resurrection coming, and we're going to be alive forever to be with him. Thank God for that. Now, here's what I believe about, this is kind of like, will we recognize each other, and even what age? I don't know what age, but I'll just say this, because we will not age. Just think about that a moment, please. We will not age. I know some of y'all smiling just like me. We will not age. I don't know how old Adam and Eve were when God formed them, but whatever it may be, I know he does all things well, but I have a thought. We will be in our prime, and it will be perpetual prime forever. We won't age, we won't weaken, I'm gonna be, if you see me and I'm 6 foot tall and I'm, that's Brother Rocky. No. So we'll be in our prime forever, and Will we recognize, let me close with this, if you want to write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, when that which is perfect has come, then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I personally believe that not only will we recognize our loved ones, I believe we'll know them in an even greater way, because we won't have the limits of this life of sin. And we're gonna be, and it's the reason we won't need to marry and you know, have, you know, divorce and death and all that is not just because we won't die. It's because we are gonna be the ultimate family. Sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters in Christ forever. And I thought about this. Man, we're gonna have blessings and joy in our relationship with God, blessings and joy in our relationships with one another. And do you know scientists even tell us that we only use like a small percentage, a fraction of our brain capacity? I can only imagine, I think Mercy Me said, can you imagine when we can enter that time, when time is no more, and we will have unlimited capacity for our God-given potential? Oh my goodness, the fruitfulness and the joy and the blessings that are gonna come forever. Live like citizens of heaven now. Heaven, someone said, is a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you ready? In other words, are you born again? Are you a citizen of heaven? So that you can live like a citizen of heaven. We don't know all about the future and resurrection and everything, but I say this. God gave us a travel brochure that we can know enough to want to go, to be with him and to be in heaven forever, or the new heaven, new earth, new creation, a new Jerusalem. And plan B is no good at all. Y'all know what I'm saying? How many of you have somewhere in on this earth right now in life that you would like to go one day before you die? You've never been, but you would like to go. Would you let me see your hands? Okay, thank you. Brittany just returned from Japan and Korea for a couple weeks. She had never been, but she got into K-dramas, whatever, and eating Korean food, and she knew enough to want to go, and God opened the door and blessed. It's similar. If we know enough to want to go, let's go, but let's live like citizens of heaven right here. Can we stand together? And I'm gonna ask just before we just have a little closing song here. I know I might have gone a little bit longer, but I wanna ask you, would you think about this? If you want to live like a citizen of heaven more in your pursuits, your thoughts, and your relationships, would you let the Lord know that right now? Would you ask him for grace? Lord, help me. I want to live like I know you. I want to live like you've changed my heart. You make a difference in my life. I want to live like a citizen of heaven right here on earth in what I'm pursuing, in my thought life, and in my relationships, Lord, that I could honor and glorify you. Would you just take just a moment? If that's your heart, would you tell him? If you agree with this, would you say, Lord, thank you for loving me and saving me. Help me to live like a citizen of heaven in my pursuits, my thoughts, and my relationships so that you get the glory.